Welcome to IFA Talk, IFA Magazine's weekly podcast. IFA Talk is for professional investors only. Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us for the latest episode of IFA Talk, IFA Magazine's weekly podcast, where we talk to people who matter about the things that matter in the world of financial services. I'm Brandon Russell, online writer here at IFA Magazine, and joining me on the podcast this week is IFA Magazine's senior financial journalist, Jenny Hunter.
Hi, everyone. Like Brandon said, thank you for joining us this week, where we'll be taking a look at a more under-advised protection product, family income benefits. Having worked in financial services myself for the past 10 years, I can say that protection can almost become an afterthought to such things as investment or estate planning, whereas in reality, it fulfills an equally, if not more important role in the client's financial planning. So today we have Shelley Reed joining us, who's a senior protection technical manager at Royal London, and she's here to give us some details on family income benefit and what types of clients could benefit from conversations, as well as any other important information our listeners will need to know. So welcome to the podcast, Shelley. It's lovely to have you with us today. Before we get straight into the technical detail, perhaps you can kick us off by telling us a bit about you and a bit about your Royal role at Royal London.
Thank you, Jenny. Yes, of course. And a warm welcome from me. I've been in financial services pretty much all of my working life, historically in the mortgage world. But the last 17 years, I've been concentrating on protection, historically with Bright Grey and latterly when we became Royal London. So my role really is travelling around the country, delivering face-to-face presentations, helping advisors to increase their protection sales. And obviously, latterly, a lot of that delivery has also been via webinar.
Perfect. Well, Shelley, like Jenny said, thanks so much for joining us today. And it's lovely to meet you. If you could talk us through firstly, for anyone that may not know, what is a family income benefit policy and how does it work?
Okay, well, family income benefit is really a very cost-effective form of protection. It's basically a term assurance policy, a decreasing policy, and it can be set up normally on a life, a critical illness, or an earlier life or critical illness way. It's designed really to pay a regular income rather than a lump sum till the end of the term of the policy. It replaces a lost income, and I think sometimes clients can understand lose an income, replace an income, sometimes a little easier than coping with a lump sum, obviously over and above mortgage protection. So it replaces lost income. It is that income is tax free, and it can be set up on a level or indexed basis. And maybe we'll just park indexation for a while and come back to that a little later. It can be set up on a joint, a single, or a joint life first event basis. And more and more, we are seeing these family income benefit policies set up either under trust or via nominating beneficiaries. But at the core of it, I think the most important thing is to think that it is designed to pay a regular income and really a very cost-effective way to add some more protection into a client's protection portfolio.
You are listening to IFA Talk, IFA Magazine's weekly podcast. Subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to be notified as soon as a new episode becomes available. And follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter and Instagram at IFA Magazine.
Following on from that, then, it sounds like these types of policies are going to be specifically suitable for certain types of clients. What types of clients do you think could benefit from a conversation around family income benefit?
When I think about family income benefit, I tend to think there are four main groups of clients that would really benefit from a conversation about family income benefit. The first one really is those clients who are divorced. Now, I think if you think about clients that you have, more often than not, particularly if there are children involved and sadly a couple decide to go their separate ways, then there will be some sort of maintenance agreement put into place. Now, for many, that maintenance agreement might form quite a huge part of their monthly income. For some, it might be all of their monthly income. So I think it's worth having a discussion to consider what would happen if the person paying that maintenance either died prematurely or became too ill and had to leave work. There's a very good chance that in those circumstances, then paying that maintenance could be really troublesome. So family income benefit is a great solution to set up really an income that can replace that maintenance. So it can be for different amounts. You can set up more than one policy. So it could be to cover each child's maintenance because they might end at different times. And it can be set up, if we think of a traditional example, let's say we've got mom and dad, two small children, they decide to go their own way. Maybe, again, let's be just traditional, maybe dad is paying maintenance payments and mom maybe might work part-time, and that maintenance payment is a huge part of her income. Then dad, in our example, can set up a policy to protect those maintenance payments. But also mom, in our example, could set up a policy because she has financial insurable interest and could set up a policy on the life of her ex-partner. Of course, he's going to have to agree to that policy being on his life and to answer any medical questions. But we see lots of policies set up in that way. And I think it gives great peace of mind. I think if you ask many newly divorced, you know, main carers of children, if they'd like to receive, let's say, £1,000 a month maintenance payment that's totally unprotected, or say £975 a month and use £25 to protect that maintenance, I think most would go for that second option. So definitely a great conversation to have. The second area, I think, is for those clients who have chosen to educate their children privately. I don't know if there's anyone on the listening today who've made that big step, but having done it for a while myself, it is a huge financial commitment, and it's a huge commitment out of your net income. And I think many parents don't consider what would happen if one of them died prematurely, or indeed if they got sick and had to finish work. What would happen to those school fees payments? And again, I think for those of us who are parents, on this podcast today, the last thing you would want if you had a child who was grieving the loss of a parent, or indeed anxious and upset about a very seriously ill parent, the last thing you would want is to have to move them from that very comfortable, probably quite small private school where, you know, they know everyone and the teachers and other children know them. And again, if you're looking to move a child or to get a state school place mid-term, it can often mean that you're needing to travel further afield. So again, when you've got a child who's going through, you know, a really tough time, to have to move them school and maybe have some travel involved is, I think, the last thing that you would want. So again, family income benefit is a great solution to set up, to kick in and be able to create an income to fund those school fees. The third area, I think, are those clients who are sitting in the private rental sector. Now, many clients will be sitting there currently by necessity, not by choice, and many renters have aspirations to buy their own home. Now, admittedly, they don't have a large lump sum to protect, but they certainly have monthly outgoings that need some sort of protection. So again, family income benefit will pay, you know, a lump sum on death or critical illness, and that can be a really great addition to be able to maintain those rental commitments. You know, again, if you are dealing with a loved one that is seriously ill, or indeed dealing with the grief of having lost a loved one, the last thing you want to do is to have to consider moving your home because you can't afford those rental payments, having to maybe move to a less desirable area or a smaller property. And the other thing I'd mention when we're talking about the rental sector is really safeguarding that deposit. I mentioned a few minutes ago that many people in the rental sector have aspirations to buy their own home, so they'll be saving hard for that deposit. I think it's very important to think about that deposit. And if someone became seriously ill, or indeed if there was a loss of a loved one, then having to dip into those savings to pay your gas bill or a Sainsbury's shop is the last thing that you want to do. It's probably taken a long while to get those savings together. So there's no need for that to happen. Family income benefit policy can cover those outstanding bills and really safeguard that hard-earned deposit. The other thing I'd mention is just families. You know, it's an ideal product for insurance product for families. Many, many years ago, we had a great phrase in the insurance world that I think is still as relevant today, and that's that kids can't eat bricks. And what I mean by that is for many families, just having that mortgage protection and having that mortgage paid and that property owned isn't sufficient to keep that family in the property. They need an income as well. So the lump sum from the mortgage protection can pay that mortgage off, the property's owned, but for many families, to enable them to stay in that property and to maintain a lifestyle, they do need to have some income as well. And again, that's where family income benefit alongside mortgage protection within a menu plan, I think is a really great solution. So when we've looked at those four areas of clients who I think could really benefit from a protection conversation, hopefully many of you listening to this podcast can think about clients who you currently have in your client bank that could benefit immediately from a conversation. I think those that are divorced, as we've said, maybe those who are educating their children privately, those who are sitting in the rental sector. And of course, don't forget, I look at many advisors' websites in the course of my job, and we very rarely see any mention of those in the rental sector. And I know for those of you who are long established advisors, I'm sure your existing clients wouldn't hesitate when their grown up children are ready to buy a house and take a mortgage to refer them to you. But do they know that you can have a really worthwhile conversation while they're maybe in that rite of passage and are sitting in the rental sector? And many providers who set up protection for someone in the rental sector will have cover increase options whereby when they are ready to buy a property, they can have some very generous terms to create a different sort of protection to cover their change of home ownership. For those of you who like social media, I think it's a great subject to talk about. There will be people reading social media that are divorced, are educating their children privately, and most certainly are living in the rental sector. So social media can be a great source, and many protection advisors, us included, will have all sorts of marketing support to help you get that message across. And finally, professional connections. I know many of you are very close to lawyers, conveyancers, but let's not forget those other areas. So such as the rental sector, those landlords. So let's not forget those letting agents too. You may well have a connection with the estate agency part, but also talk to the letting agents about their tenants and also their landlords, and family lawyers who are dealing with divorce on a, you know, often daily basis. Do they know that you can have a really worthwhile conversation with those clients who are paying maintenance payments?
Perfect. Thanks so much for that, Shelley. That was brilliant. Unfortunately, we are running out of time on today's podcast. So if I could ask you now to just go through anything you think is important or that advisors need to know when discussing this product.
Yes, of course. I think the final couple of things I'll mention is that when you're talking to these clients, also mention to them about the added value support that's available. You know, we still see many clients who have existing policies and could be taking use of those added value support, whether it be physiotherapy, a second medical opinion, or even mental health support and access to a GP, you know, often 24/7. Remember about those additional added value support services that will come with our core subject today, family income benefit. And I mentioned right at the beginning about indexation. I'm not the advisor on the podcast today, you ladies and gents are, but I think if you are setting up an income-based plan, such as family income benefit, then it's really important to consider indexation. Just imagine if you'd set up a family income benefit policy 10 years ago and your clients are making a claim today, of course it would still be really good, but maybe not as good as it could have been had you taken the trouble to include indexation. So we know that indexation will make sure that your income-based policies provide the solution that you set it up to achieve.
Well, thanks very much, Ellie. That is all we have time for today. And there's no doubt that our listeners will have learned a lot from what you've said, and hopefully that will help them when they have their conversations with their own clients. So thank you very much for joining us, Shelley, and thank you to all those listening. We hope you come back and tune in next time. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
IFA Talk is for investment professionals only. All material has been carefully checked for accuracy, but no responsibility can be accepted for inaccuracies. Whatever appropriate, independent research, and whatever necessary, legal advice should be sought before acting on any information contained in this podcast. And value of investments and income from them can go down as well as up. You may not get back the amount you originally invested.